Yes, I believe that's true. And Brother Eric was teaching the other day on prayer, and his first point was the biggest problem with prayer, prayerlessness. We just don't pray as we ought to pray. Amen. You know, I had someone to ask me one time. They were in the midst of one of the greatest trials of their life. And they asked me, I said, why does God allow us to go through this and put us through this? I don't understand. I said, well, how much you been praying? I said, well, I've been praying many times every day. I said, before this happened to you, how many times was you praying? And the answer, and they said, I got where I wasn't praying. I thought, well, maybe God puts us through that to get us to come to Him. Amen. To recognize Him. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Yesterday, besides being Ricky's birthday back there, and I didn't know that, it seemed like I remember Eric telling me that September was his anniversary of when he got saved. September was also the anniversary when I came to the church here. And it's also our anniversary as well. But yours too, birthday? And I was watching yesterday, as most of you know, if you were around anywhere watching anything, you saw that they were remembering September 11, 2001. Some of you young people are too young to remember that day. I remember it vividly where I was. I was in an EMS conference and I was passing a TV and all of a sudden I saw this plane run into one of the towers at New York. I saw it when it first happened, and everyone was wondering if this is an accident that's happened. And shortly after that, we found another plane coming into another tower. Then we found another plane going in and going to the Pentagon or somewhere, and it was headed that way. It was flight number 93. I actually watched a reactment of that last night, and when you see what happened, and of course at the time I was chief over the fire and EMS here, and we sent some people from our service to New York to dig through the debris and to help try to find bodies when those tires fell. And it wasn't an easy time. And I saw yesterday that everywhere we looked, people were saying, never forget. I remember President Bush coming on right after it happened. And he said, we will never forget who has done this to us. We will find them. And we will also remember anyone who tries to give them haven. And I was thinking, 20 years, we've forgotten. This administration has forgotten. It is now calling those people that were the enemies that would still love to destroy our country, our friends and the ones that we depend upon. And yet the ones that really care about the country and pray for the country and did not appreciate things, how things were going, they call the enemy. If anyone supported President Trump, you're the enemy of this country. Administration said we're the greatest threat there is. Because we love the country? You know, I'm tired. And I got thinking when I was looking and thinking about what they were remembering yesterday. I remember live pictures of the firemen and policemen and healthcare workers running into the towers when everybody else was running away from them. And I was watching that reenactment last night on the plane, and those people were calling their loved ones and telling them goodbye, that they were going to die, because what they were going to do was try to overtake the terrorists on the plane, and they knew that there was a great possibility that they were going to die and they were going to crash the plane. But they knew that they were better crashing in a plane in the fields of Pennsylvania than going into Washington, D.C. and killing thousands upon thousands of people. And so those people gave their lives. And I thought, as I watched, people like that is who I see when I see America. When I think of America, I think of people like that. Last year, during all the pandemic and everybody trying to understand what was going on and everybody scared to death, and everybody sent home and stay home, stay away, yet the healthcare workers coming in facing that day in and day out, that's who I think of when I think of America. And I'm proud to be American. I don't want some snotty-nosed college kid that's never done nothing trying to define what America is all about. And I don't want them to tell me how bad America is when they've never done nothing for this country and they don't understand this country. Nor do I want someone that's always had their hand stuck out and all they've done is taken contributions from this country and never given nothing back to this country. I don't want them to define to me what America is. And I think we'd be wise to never forget. But I'm afraid what we're doing is opening a door to see it repeated again. Because if we don't remember these things, what happens when we forget, then we find that we go right back in. And it's like, I actually, Brother Eric didn't know as he started out his Sunday school lesson, it hit right on the point of where I'm going with this message. And that is, he was talking about that he got in a position where he forgot some things and had to be reminded. And sometimes those reminders are tough. And God has a way of reminding. I also thought of Memorial Day. Memorial Day here we set aside. And we remember that freedom is not free. Freedom, and when we looked at this flag, freedom has cost people something. Some gave, all the soldiers gave something, but some of them gave all they had. And so therefore, when I think of America, and when I remember the founding fathers and the suffering and what they gave to this country to make this country what it was, and when I see the soldiers that has made freedom available to us, freedom's not a right. It's a liberty that we have bought through the precious blood of volunteers willing to go and die for this country. And so therefore we need to remember. And as this nation, has it done wrong? At times, absolutely. But it's still one of the greatest nations ever on the face of the earth. And I'm still proud to be American. And I don't want anybody walking on the flag. And anybody that doesn't love the country enough to salute the flag and stuff, I have nothing for. Because listen, if you know what it costs some people to be able to have the freedoms that we have. And I'm going to tell you something. They're trying their best to turn this generation of young people against this country. And when you get people that's not willing to fight for this country, you'll have no liberties. They've got to love the country enough to want to be willing to step up and fight for it. And when all they're being told is how much to hate the country and that the country is their enemy and they've got to turn the country upside down, they're not going to want to fight for it when it comes time to fight for it. And so we have to remember that. Look back in your Bibles if you would. I actually, that's part of my message, so just stay with me a minute. But notice if you would, Peter says in 2 Peter, chapter number 1. He's fixing to die. He's worried about his testimony. That when he dies, what's he going to leave behind? He wants to stir him up a little bit before he dies. The Lord's done showed him he's going to die soon. And by the way, we're all going to die. What are we going to leave behind? Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given to us all things. Now notice that all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things, notice that little phrase, these things, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall what? Never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now notice that. I put you in remembrance of these things, for though ye know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, that's his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, many times we preach things that you already know. But what we need to do is put you in remembrance of those things. Sometimes it's good to remember and go back and be reminded of certain things and to have that repentance in your heart because it reminds you. What were they doing yesterday? Reminding what happened 20 years ago. They reminded what happens when we let our guard down. They reminded what happens when we just think that everybody's going to be our friend and they're okay. And when we bring enemies over here and give them haven, and then all of a sudden they turn around, instead of being thankful to us, what they do is they try to destroy as many of us as they possibly can. It's a reminder when we see those pictures. Look on. He says in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. In other words, he said, I'm fixing to die. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now look, if you would, in chapter 3, and we're going to come back to chapter 1. Verse number 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of what? Remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before you by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and our Savior and the Savior. Now, this morning I want to preach to you about being stirred up. Amen. By remembering. When I looked up yesterday and I watched some of those videos and I relived those moments, because I was old enough to remember those times, when I relived those moments, I was stirred up. I remembered. And I was stirred up about what happened 20 years ago, and it makes me even stirred up about what's going on today, because I think they're laying the same groundwork for a repeat if they're not very careful. Not only that, but also here we need to understand that these things, he says, I want to stir you up by remembrance. To stir up means to wake up. In other words, what happens is we get kind of used to being where we are, doing what we're doing, and every now and then we need something to stir us up, to wake us up in remembrance of some things in our lives. Now here he says these things that he points. Look back in your Bible a moment, and notice here he points out several things. He says these things are virtue, because you add to your faith virtue. Virtue is your moral uprightness. In other words, living the right way that God would have you live. Not only that, but knowledge, understanding truth, how to live it from the Word of God. In other words, getting into the Word, let the Word get into you. Amen? Temperance, that's self-control. Being able to control your temper, your tongues, temptations. Patience, that's endurance, to be able to endure, not to quit, not to run away, and not to drop out every time you turn around, but to endure. Job learned patience through what he went through. He endured it. He didn't like it. There was nothing about what Job went through that was fun. He endured it. It was painful. It was hurtful. When he had to bury all of his kids, it was painful. When he lost all his possessions, it was painful. When he couldn't lay down, sit down, walk, stand on his head, do nothing without being on the boils that he had, it was painful. But he endured it. He lasted. He didn't give up. Godliness, that's walking in the view of God, remembering God, having him in your sight and in your mind. Brotherly kindness, being kind one to another and helping one another. And charity, having that self-sacrificing love. He said, now these things I want to put you in remembrance of. Now why do we want to be put in remembrance of these things? And by the way, every one of us sometimes in our Christian life, even though we know these things, that we all do these things, we forget. We get away from it. We actually get sleeping and we don't remember some things. We don't remember. I was thinking when Brother Eric was talking this morning, I hate to keep picking at him on the Sunday school lesson, but I was thinking he was talking about where God brought him from. And what God had to keep doing is reminding him where he was when he found him. And the change that he's made in his life. And that's how God does each of us that have been saved. But now notice this. Why are these things important? Why did Peter think it was so important to stir up their remembrance on these things? We'll look back. Number one, in verse number 8, he said these things will make you fruitful. Nobody wants to be saved and be a Christian and be a failure. No one really seeks out to be a failure in life. But those of us who are saved, I don't think anybody saved really wants to be a failure. But you know what will cause you to fall? When you forget these things. When you begin to let these things go in your life and you just take them for granted, even though you know them, you get them out of your mind, you get living away, and you catch yourself, and you wake up someday and you say, how did I get here? How did I get here? It's happened to many of us. Now on that, look here. He says that it will make you fruitful, and you'll not be barren. And then he also talks, it will help us. If you look, he says, you be barren, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, knowing how not to be led astray, fall into traps, all those things. Also, he says in verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. That doesn't mean lost here. He's talking saved people. Is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was what? Purged from what? You know something? These things, when you keep these things fresh in your mind and you rehearse these things, you don't have too much trouble doubting your salvation. But boy, you get away from these things, you start forgetting these things and quit practicing these things in your life, and you know what? You'll begin to question some things. You might be saved, but you'll catch yourself living just like someone that's not. You begin to question, well, am I really saved? Would I be doing this thing? But problem is, it's what you need is a good stirring up of remembrance. Amen. And having these things put back in your life. Now, not only that, but notice here, and by the way, as I mentioned, we all fall at times. But this morning I want to preach, and I want on this thought. Some things that we need to remember in our spiritual warfare. Now, he brought out this morning Abel. in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel was first martyred for his faith, but by no means has he been the last one. There's been a whole lot of people that's had to die. Peter here, all the apostles died that wrote this book of the New Testament, wrote these books and these epistles. They died. Paul had his head chopped off. James was killed. And on and on and on. Every one of them died martyr's death. To what? To bring us the Word of God. Have you ever thought about that? Do you understand what Peter and many of the other ones paid just to be able to continue the work that Christ began in the church? We're sitting here today enjoying the privilege of meeting together here. Number one, we're able to meet here in liberty and freedom because of what our forefathers have done and things they've set forth in this country to allow us the freedom to meet. We don't have armed guards coming in here. Brother Palmer in China, several times lately, they've been having services, and right in the middle of service, here comes the Chinese law enforcement. They come right into church and sit down, want to hear what they got to say. I'm glad we don't have that here yet. And if we keep forgetting, we're going to have it. But not only that, but we also need to remember people that has died. Sometimes you need to get the Book of Martyrs and read through that and see some people went through just to carry on the faith. Any of you that's never read The Trail of Blood, ask me for a copy and I'll give you a copy of it. But I believe every Christian ought to read The Trail of Blood. It lets you know, sort of, some people say, well, where'd all these nominations come from? What happened? It'll let you know a lot of truth about that. But one fact that it brings out during the Dark Ages, people that was trying to carry on and bring forth the truth, over 50 million of them was put to death. There was a time when just every few feet, the head of a Baptist was stuck on a stake. For miles. Those are people that fought that you and I could still hear the truth. We need to be stirred up sometimes in remembering some things. And by the way, just because right now, a lot of our, we're not seeing a lot of martyrs for the Christian faith in America. Now, they're coming against us, but they're coming in different ways. There's still a lot of countries where people are being put to death right as we speak. As a matter of fact, when our government handed it over to Taliban the other day, the first thing they went and did, they went and raided the churches and killed those people. And some of them, you can hear phone calls where they were on the phone talking to people when they were actually shot to death. Why? Because they believed in Jesus. And by the way, it's not going to quit, because the Bible tells us in the tribulation time, he shows us in when the fifth seal was opened, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be martyred, that's going to have their death and be put to death during that time too. Now, so let me share with you a couple of thoughts. I want to stir you up in remembrance. We have been blessed because of what some people's gone through. I believe this is one of the greatest blessings that we have. Amen. God has given us his word. Amen. You cannot go to another place in America and find truth as a whole. There'll be all kinds of issues, but God has preserved this truth. Amen. But let me tell you something. Being blessed with this truth, sometimes we need to be stirred up, or lest we forget how precious this truth is. Yeah, amen. You know what happens when we fall asleep? We quit reading it. Yeah. It's not a part of our life. It quits being a guide to our feet.
a light to a path. What happens is when we fall asleep, we get spending time putting all kinds of other junk in our head, in our heart, and instead of putting the Word in us and letting us be in the Word, we put everything else, and we wonder why we're in such a mess. But again, you got to remember these things. Remember those things? Part of those things is just getting into this thing, finding knowledge, how God would have us to live through this knowledge. But look here. Man, you should get in some of the books, the good books that tells you how this book come to be and how God has preserved it. This has not been a free book. People didn't say, oh, there's a Bible. Thank God we got the Bible. When they started the Universal Church, we now call it Catholic Church, they didn't allow anybody to have this book. You caught with this book, they'll kill you. Matter of fact, they got so mad at some people like John Huss and people like that. They, even after he was dead, they dug him up and burned him. Why? Because he tried to get the Word of God in people's hands. They said, you don't need the Word of God. We'll interpret for you and tell you what it says. Boy, it's dangerous when you let somebody else tell you what the Bible says. Study for yourself to rightly divide the Word of truth. But look here. There's been much blood shed over preserving this book. And when you sit and let this thing just sit, the Bible says that these words, this book, is alive.
Amen.
Power. Sharper than a two-edged sword.
Amen.
I used to worry about preaching. Man, I run out of things to say, Bernice. Then God said, duh. I'm not interested in what you got to say. I'm only interested in what I said. Preach the Word.
Amen.
Let the Word do the work. And so therefore, when we preach the Word of God is alive. It comes out and the Holy Ghost of God uses it and it convicts and it draws people to saving salvation. But it's only because it's made possible because men and women have given their lives to make sure that we had this book. And yet, we just sit and we fall asleep about it. Let me ask you this. What would happen today if President Biden said, I'm going to make a mandate, no more Bibles in your house? No one's allowed to have a Bible. What would you do if they came in and they began to take all the Bibles? You know, there was a time when people would meet in caves and just have a page or two of Bible. And they'd spend all day long reading it, rereading it, and reading it because it was so precious. Sometimes things are not precious until they're taken away. And when we have things taken away, then we need to remember. But it would be far better for us if we would remember it now instead of waiting until one of these days we lose the privilege of it. But don't forget, people suffered to do this. Not only that, to deliver to us the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, to carry on the truth. Do you understand? I shared with you last week, we had Brother Love stop in and visit us last Sunday night. And he puts out a thing on Baptist history and so forth. And the one just happened, the one for that morning he put out, this guy, he'd gotten beaten. He was a pastor of a church. He'd gotten whipped and beaten. You know why he got whipped? This was Church of England. This is where we came from. This is where our forefathers came from and why they came here. You know why he got whipped? Because he immersed someone in water and baptized someone. That was not the approved way of doing it, even though it was a biblical way of doing it. And he got whipped because of it. And two guys come down to help them out, and they got took to court just for helping them up. You say, well, it'd never be that way here. You better be stirred up and remember. Amen. Not only that, that we have the privilege of meeting and carrying on, having the Word of God. Do you realize that there are people that has prayed and paid prices that you and I would be able to have church? Mm-hmm. These churches just don't appear. These buildings don't, that the church meets in. Somebody has to put them together. Someone had to give, make sacrifices, and do those things to make sure that we had those things. I don't know about you, but it sure saddens my heart where every time I turn around, there's another church, they're remodeling, making something else out of it. Because they no longer meet there. We need to be stirred up by way of remembrance of the faith that was once delivered, that these people that suffered, and that today we still have the truth saved by God's grace through our faith and not our works. I'm still glad that we have that truth. Not only that, but we also have been blessed with people that have set forth the old paths and carried them on. He was talking about this morning, things have changed. I've went through some same processes in my mind. But you know what? There's a group anymore trying to preach a new way with new paths. They're trying to do it free from any persecution or separation from the world. I'm glad that we still have people that's carrying on the old paths. Amen. The old paths is the only one that'll work. Amen? Amen. There is no new gospel. And we've been blessed also with the fact that during these days in which we're living, that is so perilous and dangerous spiritually, we've had someone to share us the truth. Some of your parents have paid a great price to make sure that you've heard the truth. Some has cared enough to bring you to Sunday school, to bring you to church. There's many, many people being deceived. And you ought to be thankful. But you need to be stirred up in remembrance of the fact that when you have the truth in this time, you've been blessed when you know the truth. You know why all this stuff don't bother me? Because God done told me it was going to happen. Do I like seeing it happen? No. Do I like being here during it? No. But I'll tell you this. It's going to happen. And last but not least on this, we've been blessed. And we need to remember our salvation. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about the time and place you got saved. You ought to have that. But you ought to remember how and why it came to be. Who made it possible. You know what? Sometimes we come and we get in church and this is what we do. Here we are, the Son of God has come down. He has made a way that we could be saved. Sinners doomed for a devil's hell. And because of of faith that he made possible on the cross of Calvary, anyone and everyone can be saved. And those of us here who are saved, we are blessed ones. And when we come to the house of God and we sing songs about Jesus and when we hear him preach from the Word of God, you say, I've heard that before. Well, it's good to be stirred by remembrance. Amen. Remember what God's done for you. Remember where you were before he saved you. Remember where he brought you from. To be stirred up by remembrance. Now last, let me say this. We ought to do it in the presence of some people. Turn the book of Psalms real quick, and I'm going to close right here. I want to go four verses in Psalms.
just straight and tell you. Psalms 18. There's some people. You know, the Bible says one of the signs of this last days is people will be unthankful. Not thankful for anything. Neither were they thankful. You read Romans chapter 1, you know why they got so far away from God? Neither were they thankful. But we need to give God, we need to give thanks. Look if you would in Psalms 18. Look if you would in verse 49. Therefore will I give what? Thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the what? Heathen sing praises unto thy name. We ought to give thanks even from the heathen, those who are lost. So don't call me heathen. I was heathen before I got saved. I was away from God. Didn't know God. Didn't know the things of God. And let me ask you this. If they don't see something different in us, why do they want what we have? They need to see us. They need to see us having thanks before God for what he's done for us, for the blessings that we've shared. The fact we have the Bible, we have the church, we have the Word of God, we have the truth. And we're saved. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been cleansed. We've been regenerated. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 100, real quickly. Psalms 100. Look, if you would, in verse 4. Chapter 100. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we come in here, you know, Brother Roger stood and said, I just want to thank the Lord this morning. That's what we all do. We all just want to thank him when we come together here. Not only thank him before the lost and heathen, we all thank him before each other. Amen. When we come into his courts, when we come into a place of worship. Not only that, but look if you would in Psalm 79. Look at Psalm 79. Look if you would in verse 13. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to what? You know who all generations is? Where does it start at? Your children. When's the last time your children has heard you stand up and thank the Lord for something? When's the last time you stood and you said, I just want to thank the Lord? And you know, we was talking about having memories when we're dead and gone. Brother Porter was talking about Brother Lockhart and different things and having memories and people he's preaching. So what will people remember about him? Well, let me ask you this. What will your children remember about you? Amen. You know, I have fond memories of my mom and dad. In some areas, my dad, me and him butted heads. I was hard-headed, but he was really hard-headed. Say amen there, Rick. Rick worked with him for every day for years. But look here. But I remember many times hearing him praise and thank the Lord. And that made an impact. And hearing my mom and her testimony. What I'm trying to get across to you is this, folks. We ought to be willing to give thanks in front of people. And our children need to see us giving thanks unto the Lord. Look one more place. We'll close here. Chapter 95. Notice if you would verse 2. Let us come before what? His presence with what? And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Listen. We ought to give thanks to the Lord. Chris and Beth came up here this morning. I don't know what was on their mind completely, but I'll say one thing they probably did was thank the Lord for Brad being here this morning. There was time last week we really didn't know whether he would turn to go worse.
because he was at that point or get better. And it could very easily been him on another list. That quick. And what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Sometimes we just need to stop and thank the Lord for his blessings and be thankful to him. And folks, the only time we do that is when we've been stirred with remembrance. Let us never forget how blessed he's been. You know, Rick, I was thinking about that song, all you all sing. Perfect. That song describes this message completely. We have truly been blessed. Matter of fact, would you young people mind to step up here and just sing that? Would you care to do that? Kim, would you mind do that? Would you all secure come up and just sing that for invitation today? Just sing that, and let's stand their feet. And while they sing, I want you to listen to the words of this song. Everybody who wants to come, just come on. Anybody that knows the song that wants to sing it? And maybe you're here this morning and you just need to come and just get along with God and say, God, I just want to thank you. I forget how blessed I've been. I forget how good you've been to me. And sometimes it's good just to bow and give him thanks. Amen? Just go ahead whenever you all get ready. Listen to words. I know many of you have heard this. Somebody said, why do we sing the same song over and over? Because sometimes it just stirs our remembrance again. And we need to be put in remembrance. Listen to the words of this. Maybe if God's laid something on your heart, you need to move. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. You need to come. However God may deal with you, would you come? How about it? How about it? Think about this. These things. Yes, amen.
Now listen to this last verse. This last verse describes a lot of what I preached this morning.
God is so good to me.
Yes, He is. When you forget that, neither will you be thankful. Anyone got anything in your mind or heart before we close this morning? Anyone else this morning before we close? Amen.
15, 16 years ago, I was a district
director. I remember.
And I'll never forget, he was invited to the governor's breakfast.
Yeah.
When he closed, he can't use the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Christ ain't over here in my
eyes. Amen. You know, it taught me a great lesson that day. The mayor thought he was doing me a favor, and he wanted to take me to the governor's breakfast. He come to me proud about it, and I didn't have really want any part of it because I knew what they'd do is parade across the stage, and everybody put on a show. And I went reluctantly, Brother Eric. And so you had to reserve seats. It's the way the Lord works, Brother Eric. We went and had to reserve seats, and so they reserved seats, and our whole party got set down there and reserved seats, but they made a mistake on our seating, and I was last one in. I drove the bus, and so I was last one in, so I didn't have a seat. So they took and set me right between two Catholic priests. I said, Lord, I understand. I'll never be back here again, and it's true. They passed out a memo, and they said, we don't want to offend anybody today, so when you pray, we'd appreciate not to use the name of Jesus. And I said, were he not welcome? I'm not welcome. Amen. Amen. Anybody else before we close? Good to have you. Right. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. I sat here just with this little baby, Mr. Christian's shoulder, and you smile. And it's with my heart. And
amen. 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 Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For those who's got kids in church, I always pray for them.
Sometimes you fall asleep when they're all around you, then all of a sudden you wake up one of these days and you went, man.
Somebody else start to say something?
I want to thank everyone for the prayer.
Amen. Kelly, would you dismiss us in word prayer, please?